Welcome back, everybody, to another deep dive with us.
It's great to be here.
And today, we're going to be looking into one word.
One word.
One single word.
One little tiny word.
That appears over and over and over again in the book of Genesis.
Yes.
Which is Teledot.
Teledot.
Now, you may have seen this word before in your Bible, and it's typically translated as generations.
Yes.
But as we're going to learn today, there's a lot more to it than just that simple, you know, meaning.
You know, these are the generations of,
right.
That's how it's presented most of the time.
Yeah. And we're going to be using the work of Dr. George Payton.
Dr. Payton. Yeah.
Who did his doctoral dissertation.
Amazing work.
On this word.
It really is.
To kind of unpack all the different meanings and really explore all of its nuances, so to speak.
It's amazing how much one word can impact our understanding of the text, especially a book as foundational as Genesis.
Right. I mean, you might think, oh, generations, okay.
Yeah.
I get it. Simple. What's the big deal?
Well,
but one of the problems is that even Bible translators can't seem to agree
exactly
on how to translate this word Teledot.
Right.
You know, you pick up different versions and you're going to find it translated in different ways.
Absolutely. Sometimes you'll see generations.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you'll see account. Sometimes you'll see history.
Story of, even.
Story of. Yeah, it's all over the place.
Right. So that kind of leaves us with a big question mark. Like, okay, if even the experts who translate these Bibles can't agree what is really going on here.
Right.
What is the meaning of this word?
It really makes you wonder, what is the real deal here with Teledot?
Yeah. So typically, the approach to trying to understand this word Teledot has been to look at the macro level.
Yeah.
You know?
Surrounding text.
Surrounding text.
Yeah.
To see, okay, where is this word showing up? What's the context?
Yeah, what's going on?
And try to extrapolate from there what it might mean.
Right.
So if it comes before, say, a story.
Yes.
Then it might be considered to mean history or account.
What?
You know, these are the accounts of, this is the history of.
Right.
If it comes before a list of names,
then
it might be considered descendants.
Yeah, these are the descendants of so-and-so.
Right.
All right.
But this method has led to some head-scratching, you know, inconsistencies and even contradictions based on where it's showing up.
Yeah, it doesn't always add up.
Right. So what did Dr. Payton do differently?
Well, he took a page out of the detective's handbook.
Whew.
He calls it the crime scene investigation method.
Crime scene investigation. I like that.
Instead of just looking at the general context, he analyzes every single instance of Teledot.
Wow.
In the Old Testament. All 39 of them.
All 39. Oh, my gosh.
Starting with its grammatical structure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So wait a minute. 39 times.
39 times.
I'm already sensing that this is going to be a little more complex than I initially thought. What did he find?
Well, he discovered that the phrase, eletoledot, which means these are the Teledot of, always shows up at the beginning of lists of names.
Mm.
This is a big deal because it suggests Teledot functions as a marker.
Okay.
Signaling the start of a new section.
Okay.
Not the end of one, as some previously thought.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So, okay. We know it marks a new section, but what does it actually mean?
Yeah.
Did Dr. Payton kind of crack that code too?
He did.
All right.
He identifies four primary meanings, and the context helps determine which one is intended.
Okay.
The most common meaning is progeny.
Okay.
Like a family tree.
Okay.
Think of all the begats in the Bible.
Yeah.
Those are showing the descendants of a particular person.
Right, right.
So-and-so begat so-and-so.
Okay, so if Teledot means descendants, how does that work when we see it applied to, say, the sons of Noah?
Right.
Is that where these other meanings come in?
Exactly. When we see it with someone like Noah, it's more specific. It's not all his descendants, but rather his sons. His male offspring.
Okay.
Shem, Ham, and Japheth. That's the third meaning Payton identifies.
Got it. So we have progeny broadly,
and
then male offspring is a more specific application.
Exactly.
Okay, what about the other two?
Well, there's a unique instance in Numbers and Chronicles where Teledot is focused on the number of descendants.
Okay.
Not their individual names.
Interesting.
Think of it as numbered progeny.
Okay. So sometimes it's like a list of names and other times it's just about the number of descendants.
Exactly.
Yeah. What's that fourth meaning?
This one is truly fascinating and only appears once in the entire Old Testament.
Ooh.
Okay.
It's in Genesis 2.4 where it refers to Adam and Eve.
Wait, how does Teledot make sense there? They didn't have ancestors in the traditional sense.
That's what makes it so intriguing. Remember, Genesis 2.4 says, these are the Toledot of the heavens and the earth when they were created. Dr. Payton suggests that in this case, Toledot acts as a metaphor for created from.
Okay.
Essentially, it's saying Adam and Eve were created from the heavens and the earth.
Wow. So it's not just biological lineage. It can encompass the very act of creation itself.
Exactly.
Okay, that really expands our understanding of Toledot, I gotta say.
It does. It takes us beyond a simple genealogical term and hints at the origins of humanity and our connection to the divine.
Okay, I am officially hooked. So we've gone from generations to a word that signifies progeny, numbered descendants, male offspring, and even the act of creation itself. What's next in our deep dive?
So are you ready to move beyond just the meaning of the word Toledot and explore how it actually functions as a literary device that shapes the entire book of Genesis?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Last time we were talking about the multiple meanings of the word.
Yeah.
From, you know, progeny to even the act of creation itself.
Right.
It's really pretty amazing how much depth there is to this one single word. So how does it function as a literary device?
Think of Toledot as a master weaver, connecting different sections of Genesis.
Okay.
It links narratives with genealogies, creating a tapestry that connects people, time, and location.
Okay, I like that analogy. Can you give me an example of how this weaving works in the text?
Absolutely. So let's take Genesis 6.9, where we encounter, these are the Toledot of Noah.
Okay.
Now, this verse isn't in a genealogy. Right. It's right in the middle of the story about Noah and the flood. But if we look back at chapter 5, we find Noah's family tree ending with, you guessed it, Noah.
Uh-huh. So Toledot in Genesis 6.9 is actually pointing back to the genealogy in chapter 5.
Yes.
Linking Noah's family history to the flood.
Exactly. It's like a bridge, reminding us that Noah's story is part of a much larger family saga. And this pattern continues throughout Genesis.
Yeah, this is making me see Genesis in a whole new light. It's not just this collection of stories.
Right.
But this carefully crafted narrative.
It is. And it gets even more interesting. Dr. Payton describes this weaving as tailhead linkage.
Tailhead linkage. Okay.
The last person mentioned in one section becomes the focus of the Toledot phrase in the next.
So it's like the text is playing a game of tag, passing the narrative baton from one generation to the next.
That's a great way to put it. It emphasizes the continuity of the narrative.
Yeah.
For instance, in Genesis 9, we see Shem, one of Noah's sons, highlighted.
Okay.
Then in Genesis 10, which contains the table's nations,
right,
the Toledot phrase focuses on Shem.
Hmm.
The story of humanity continues through his lineage.
Wow, Toledot really is the glue that holds Genesis together.
It really is.
Now, we've talked about the word holod before on the show, which means to father.
Yes.
And is the root word of Toledot.
Right.
I'm guessing that plays a role here, too.
You're right.
Okay.
That word pops up throughout Genesis, further emphasizing the importance of lineage and connection across generations.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got this intricate literary device, you know, connecting people, time, location across generations.
Mm-hmm.
But what does it all mean?
That's the question.
What's the bigger picture that Toledot is pointing to?
If we zoom out,
okay,
we see Toledot leading us to two central themes in Genesis. God's covenant with the chosen lineage and the importance of worship.
All right, let's unpack that.
Yeah.
How does Toledot connect to God's covenant?
Well, remember how Toledot often introduces genealogies?
Right.
These genealogies aren't just family trees. They're tracing the lineage God chose to carry out his plan.
Mm.
The promises God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were about their descendants, their seed, inheriting the land and blessing all nations.
So Toledot isn't just about who begat whom.
No.
It's about tracking that line of inheritance.
Yes, exactly.
The lineage chosen by God to fulfill his covenant.
Precisely. And that connection between Toledot and seed is so important. It underscores that God's plan unfolds over generations.
Right.
It's not just about one individual, but a family, a people, carrying God's purposes forward.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
So we have God's covenant with his chosen people.
Right.
Where does worship fit into all of this?
Well, if you look at the lives of the patriarchs, from Adam and Eve to Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah.
There's a constant emphasis on worship as a core part of their relationship with God.
You're right. From observing the Sabbath in the Garden of Eden to Abraham building altars, their lives were intertwined with worship.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a Sunday morning activity.
Exactly. And this emphasis on worship isn't random.
Right.
It's tied to their identity as God's chosen people.
Okay.
It's an expression of their covenant with him.
This is all coming together beautifully.
Toledot
isn't just this dry technical term.
Right.
It points to these profound themes of covenant and worship.
Exactly. And it all goes back to their beginning, Genesis 1 to 2.
Okay.
God created the world, set aside the Sabbath as a day of rest and worship, and then chose a specific lineage to carry forward his plan.
Right.
A lineage defined by their relationship with him and their commitment to worship.
I'm starting to see how recognizing Toledot can change how we read and understand the book of Genesis.
It does.
But how does this impact us today? What does it all mean for readers in the 21st century?
Yeah.
So we're back. And, you know, it's incredible how a deep dive into just one word, like Toledot,
I know, right,
can totally change our understanding of a book that we think we know so well, like Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've talked about the multiple meanings.
Yes.
We've talked about how it weaves the whole narrative together.
Right.
And ultimately how it points to the themes of covenant and worship.
Right.
But what does this mean for us? Like, why should we care about this today?
That's the big question, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how does this apply to us in the 21st century?
Exactly.
It really challenges us to think about our own place in the story.
Okay.
You know, just as the patriarchs were part of a chosen lineage,
right,
we too are grafted into a spiritual family through faith in Jesus Christ. It's a lineage that stretches back to Abraham and even to Adam and Eve.
So we're all connected by this invisible thread of faith. Part of a spiritual Toledot, so to speak.
I love that.
That's a pretty powerful image.
It is a powerful image.
Yeah.
And that thread leads us right back to the theme of worship.
Duh.
Just as it was central to the lives of the patriarchs.
Right.
Worship is essential for us today.
Okay.
It's how we express our love and gratitude to God.
Mm-hmm.
How we acknowledge his sovereignty and align ourselves with his will.
Yeah. You know, it's so easy to get caught up in just like the day-to-day, the hustle and bustle.
Absolutely.
And kind of forget that we're part of something so much bigger.
Right.
This story that started back in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
And is still continuing to unfold today.
It is, yeah.
And I think Toledot reminds us that we're not just isolated individuals, but part of this grand narrative.
Absolutely. And our role in that story is defined by our relationship with God and our commitment to worshiping him. Recognizing Toledot helps us see the Bible not just as a collection of ancient stories,
right, okay,
but as a living, breathing narrative that we're a part of.
Yeah, I love that. This has been an incredible journey. We started with one single Hebrew word, and we've ended up, I mean, talking about like the foundations of our faith and
right,
connection to God.
It's amazing. It just goes to show that the Bible is full of hidden depths.
Mm.
There's always more to learn, more to uncover.
Yeah.
If we're willing to dig a little deeper.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's been my pleasure.
And really guiding us through this deep dive into this amazing, incredible word, Toledot.
Yeah, it's a fascinating word.
Now, for all of you listening out there, I want to encourage you to consider the implications of God's covenant and that call to worship in your own life.
That's right.
You know, how does knowing that you're part of this vast spiritual lineage, this Toledot of faith, so to speak.
I love that.
How does that change the way you see yourself?
Right.
How does it change the way you see your place in the world?
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean for you to live as a worshiper of the God who set this whole story in motion?
That's right.
Keep seeking, keep exploring, and keep diving deep into the incredible depths of Scripture.
You never know what treasures you'll find.
You never know what you're going to find.
Yeah.